of my own. But each time I try, I just break down and cry. 'Cause I'd rather
a little bit of Saving All My Love for You, which I thought was very appropriate. So welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And the Tonight Show is all about the exaltation and the tribulations of being the other woman, which I thought could be a very interesting show in light of tonight's times, today's times in society, because in Vancouver, a couple weeks ago, we did the show about where to meet men in Vancouver, because a lot of people have difficulty meeting men. And so sometimes, with our busy lifestyles, with the internet, where it's easier to meet people online, people are indulging more and more in becoming the other woman. Which the other woman used to be a big, bad, evil thing where it was just like, how could you do that? But I guess it starts off with, plain and simple, is why? What is cheating? What is all that stuff? So I thought it would be a little bit, it'd be quite nice to start the show off with a little bit of Whitney Houston, which I did, be considering the woman is making her comeback, which is kind of sort of cool, which is kind of awesome. But in regards to all the stuff about the other woman and all that, I found it really interesting because apparently, even though everybody says sometimes that it's kind of nice because when you're the other woman, you can have your own apartment, you can have your own bed, you can have your own time, you can pick and choose when you get to see him, you don't have to put up with all the things with the relationship. But there's a lot of other things that you may not be getting out of that. You may not be getting the ongoing, just the regular relationship, which for some people is really mundane and boring. So sometimes you can have just all the good stuff, all the honeymoon period, without all the negative stuff. But other than the whole karmic factor, there's other things that I thought was really interesting. According to Hope Ashby, she's a PhD, a therapist who specializes in women and sexuality issues. She says in her experience in counseling women, and especially those who are supposedly happy being the other woman, they actually have significant problems with intimacy and self-esteem. And according to Dr. Ashby, she actually says that they have convinced themselves that they're content with being sometimes second, sometimes third, especially if there's kids in the picture, in the man's life. And somewhere in these women's histories, they've been repeatedly told that they're not worth being loved, or some variation on this theme, or they're abandoned by their fathers when they're quite young and never have learned how to develop a mutual relationship with the man. And Dr. Ashby and some other relationship specialists say that women first learn to interact with others and to develop deep, loving, and trusting relationships with their parents, which makes sense, during the formative years. And when these early developmental milestones are either not present or interrupted by abrupt traumatic events, such as, and when this woman gets older, it's difficult for them to understand and therefore cherish the beauty of a loving relationship that can evolve between a man and a woman. The fear of rejection or of being hurt is so great that sometimes these women are not willing to take the risk of finding someone who they want to be with in an exclusive relationship. So instead of opening themselves up to a loving and committed relationship, they defend against it. And more times than not, experts say this is an unconscious process. So it's really interesting in terms of relationships. It's kind of sad, actually, but true that it's quite interesting. But as well as that, I guess what it comes down to, as well in terms of humans, what is cheating when it comes right down to it? And according to Wikipedia, in regards to human relationships, couples tend to expect sexual monogamy from each other. So cheating commonly refers to forms of infidelity, particularly adultery. And therefore, there's different, divisions of infidelity, which sometimes can be emotional. Cheating, obviously online. Some people even view watching porn as cheating. So it depends. And I think what it comes right down to in terms of emotional cheating, sometimes there's those jokes about the fact that we spend so much time at work that sometimes with a coworker, some people joke that that's their work husband or their work wife. Other things, these days, apparently, emotional cheating could be correlated to that of emotional abuse. To these days, it is sometimes taken seriously in a court of law, just as seriously as physical cheating. And as we get to expand our understanding of other cultures, there's a huge wide spectrum of what cheating means. And when in a committed relationship, the definition of cheating is based on both parties' opinions, and both parties may redeem their understanding to match the party at either a lower or higher extreme of this definition. And some couples, of course, believe cheating constitutes doing anything, whether verbal or physical, that they wouldn't do in front of their significant other. Some examples would be things like expressing sexual attraction. So say somebody super hot is walking in the street. Sometimes for some people, cheating is even looking at them. For other people, it's as extreme as if you're going to Wreck Beach with a group of friends, that's considered cheating. Other things that might be considered cheating, depending on your scope of things, is, as I was mentioning, kissing, obviously, making out, any type of sexual relations, holding hands. For some people, even having a female or male friend of the other sex is considered cheating. So I think what is really important is to figure out for yourself, what do you view as cheating? What would you be comfortable with your partner doing when you are getting into a relationship, because it's very important to communicate about these things. As you know, I really, really advise communication in general. So starting with that, communicate with yourself. What is cheating? What does that work? Are you more like Clinton, where if it's a blowjob, it doesn't count? Or is even looking at someone cheating? You know, just think about these things and talk to your partner about that, because sometimes Sometimes people are really comfortable as long as the communication is really strong. Sometimes people open up their relationship and engage in polyamory, where they are very comfortable as long as everybody is open and talks about everything and practices safe sex. It's usually pretty good. So the bottom line is just communicate with your partner, because that is really, 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 really important. So then that way you can decide on what's mutually agreed upon rules, or what are the boundaries of the relationship. And sometimes it's, as I was mentioning, it doesn't necessarily have to include sexual monogamy. That's really, really, really important. And also think about if your needs are not met in a relationship. And this is going to sound really weird, but with your relationship, think about it as a SWOT analysis, you know, establishing what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So really think about that. And what are the benefits? Like, what are you getting out of this relationship? And what do you want to get out of it? And can you see a way of looking at it and figuring out, just like you would with a business plan, with your relationship, it's like, what is possible? And then approach your partner about it, and approach it in a way that is non-confrontational, in terms of just trying to fix your relationship instead of cheating. It's just better just to be upfront about things. And I just think that's really, really important in regards to that. We are going to take a short break, and when we get back, we are going to talk about coming clean if you've been bad about cheating. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. We will be right back.
AMS Connect is a brand new service that offers a variety of ways for you to get connected to your campus, your city, and your world. We provide online listings of local volunteer opportunities and internship placements that allow you to gain valuable job experience and explore your passions outside of the classroom. The Connect office also facilitates volunteer placements abroad. Do stuff, get involved. For more information, call 604-822-9268, or you can go to their website at www.ams.ubc.ca/vex.
The other woman finds time to manicure her nails. The other woman is perfect where her rival fails. And she's never seen with pin curls in her hair anywhere. The other woman enchants her clothes with French perfume. The other woman keeps fresh-cut flowers in each room. There are never toys, it's scattered everywhere. And when her old man comes to call, he'll find her waiting like a lonesome queen. Cause when she's by his side, it's such a change from old routine. But the other woman will always cry herself to sleep. The other woman will never have his love to keep. And as the years go by, the other woman will spare my
playing a little bit of Nina Simone, Other Woman, which I thought was very appropriate in light of what we're talking about. So say you've got another woman, and you want to come clean about that. So we've got some tips from AskMen.com in terms of how to deal with that. So number one, which I think is really important, is be sure you want to tell her. Sometimes telling may do more harm than good to your relationship, if you've slipped in the fidelity department. Sometimes it is a huge mistake, and as long as you are not bringing home any STIs, sexually transmitted infections, perhaps it may not be the best idea to tell your partner. Usually honesty is the best policy, but you really have to think about what the best timing is with that. You also need to figure out what are your reasons for telling. If you want to tell them because you're hoping it's going to hurt them, it's probably not the best reason. The other reason, if you want to, hopefully you want to tell them because you want to be open and honest about your indiscretion. But if you're telling because someone else has threatened to tell her first, it's not the best reasons, but it is valid, and the truth should always come from you, because if your partner's heard it from someone else, it will be very, very challenging, especially if it's come from the other woman. Timing is everything when it comes to revealing an affair. So the more time that passes between the event and your confessions, the more trouble you'll have actually convincing her that you sincerely regret it and you want to make her right. So that's one of the things when you decide whether or not you want to tell somebody. Is sometimes the truth comes out later, and what are you going to do with that? Be prepared for the worst. And since you're probably the person who's closest, you probably have some idea about how your partner's going to react to this news. And imagine the worst case scenario. And also think about what the plan of action is going to be when you are in terms of this. Like, what do you want to get out of this? Perhaps what you should do is perhaps suggest counseling, if just to help aid both of you through it, and maybe the reason why you cheated in the first place. It's really important. Also telling, if you decide to tell her. And if you decide to tell her or him, start by telling your partner that you love them, as long as that's true, that you made a big mistake and you promise never to do it again. And they don't really need all the details. It's just not important. It's really key to emphasize it and just be as truthful as possible. But the bottom line is the damage it's done to your relationship, and you must do your best that you honestly have genuine remorse for your actions. And it's really, really important about that, because I don't think it's fair that you give them, you know, if you try and pressure them about a decision about the future of the relationship immediately. You need to give them some time to digest your confession. And in regards to cheating, it's not the best thing. So it's going to take a lot more, because trust is such a fragile thing. And once it's broken, it takes a really, really, really long time to get that back again. So you may, it may take a while. You may need to go for some couples counseling. If your spiritual, perhaps a religious leader might be able to help guide you through that process, in terms of what was going on with the relationship beforehand, what might need to change. So again, it comes right back down to asking yourself, what is it that you need? Why did you look elsewhere outside of the relationship for what you need? Is it possible that you're going to be able to get this from this relationship? Are you needing to open the relationship up, which your partner may or may not agree with, but that might be an option as well. If you do have children, how are they going to be affected by this? And it's an interesting thing, because one of the things in regards to cheaters is sometimes one of the classic things is, you know, they don't want to leave until their children are a certain age. And the bottom line with that is, if you're not setting a positive example about how a relationship is supposed to be, is it really that important to keep it together? And I do know that divorce can be expensive, as can separation. But it's one of those reasons why tread carefully before you get into those situations in terms of love and marriage. It's a really, really, really huge responsibility. And with your partner, it's really important to keep the communication really, really strong. And try not to forget about the dating factor, especially if you have children, where sometimes the relationship takes the back burner. And that's really, really important not to let that happen. So those are some key factors in regards to that. We're going to take a really quick short break. When we get back, we're going to talk about some of the benefits of being the other woman. And as well as that, we're going to talk a little bit about more about some stats in terms of some things that are going on. So we are going to take a short break. And when we get back, we're going to chat a little bit more. So you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. And we will be right back. We'll chat to you soon.
She'll make a lovely doll after I finish with you. I told you your webs were useless. It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power science world for over 75 years. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM. learned about the birds and the bees? Want to learn more about the birds and the bees and the berries, urban agriculture, delicious homegrown food, solar energy, and much more? Check out the Society Promoting Environmental Conservation. Come to one of our workshops, join our solar panel tour, or go to our website, www.spec.bc.ca, for more information.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. And we are back. And I just realized I think I may have had my mic on all through the break. So you may have heard a one-sided conversation, possibly. And if that's the case, I just wanted to let you know I had a caller on the break. And we're talking about just the fact in regards to at the top of the show when we were chatting about the fact in regards to infidelity and in regards to being the other woman, sometimes that just how our relationships, like our parental relationships, affect us as in our formative years affect how our relationships as adults, and especially sometimes being the other woman, sometimes that can be really difficult, whether you're the other woman or the other man. And I guess the bottom line is it's important. So what we're going to do is we're going to chat a little bit now. From AssociatedContent.com, they've got an article by Amy Brown, which in regards to what are the benefits to being the other woman in a relationship with a married man who's still with his wife and hiding his affair. And what are the benefits? Really, what are they? We've already heard the PhD's recommendation earlier, where usually that women who tend to get in relationships with married men usually have issues with intimacy and sometimes emotional just fear about that, and self-esteem issues was what the research has shown. And in regards to that, this article basically asks who's got the benefit of having a husband's undying love and devotion, which is supposed to happen in the relationship. And their bottom line is no one does, because husbands decide to split his affair. So his love and attention is now split between two people, possibly more. And so that can be really, really, really challenging there. Who's got the benefit of having a blissful, loving relationship? Is it supposed to happen in a marriage? And again, no one, because if you choose to cheat with a married man, any maritable problems that could have been fixed went out the window when he went to cheat with the other woman. And everybody loses, so it can be challenging. Who's got the benefit of security within a solid marriage or relationship? And nobody. But again, it depends. If you are in a predicament where you're in a stage of your life where you're just too busy to have a relationship, sometimes it is safer, sometimes in some ways, and some people feel really, really good about that. But a lot of times it's not the best. So it's important just to just take your time if you're going to get involved with somebody who is married. It's really, really, really key. So there's other information in terms of sexual infidelity, which is up. There is a source called 1plus1.org, which has some great publications. And according to them, 90% of newly married women and over 80% of newly married men intend to remain sexually faithful. And apparently, according to this, it's interesting that there's very little research as to why people do have affairs. And it's, of course, very difficult to research this because people, you know, aren't always honest. And it's hard when you're putting together a questionnaire, and interviews may people react in very complex ways and either exaggerate their experience of adultery or not telling a lot, because there's usually a lot of secrecy behind it. So with that, sometimes it's very, very, very difficult. Although in terms of their analysis of the data from the Sexual Attitudes and Lifestyle Survey showed that 14.6% of men and 9.9% of women had overlapping sexual relationships in the last year. And with that, likelihood of extramarital marital sex is usually facilitated by circumstances which assure secrecy. So couples that lead separate lives have more opportunity and more likely to have secondary sex partners. The likelihood of infidelity in married men is greater in the higher their social class is, which I thought that was really interesting, because in social classes 1 and 2, 1 in 16 men report having 2 or more concurrent sexual partners in the last year, and that's compared to just 1 in 40 men in classes 4 and 5. And the fact that professional men appear to have more affairs than other groups may be explained by the greater likelihood of meeting women through work and giving them increased opportunities of alternative sexual relationships. And it was interesting that social class and educational differences did not significantly influence the woman's risk of being unfaithful. However, women who work away from home, even as infrequently as once a year, are 3 times more likely than women who are in general to have had 2 or more concurrent sexual relationships in the past 5 years, underscoring the importance of having a prerequisite, the importance of opportunity as a prerequisite for infidelity. So I thought that was really, really interesting. And the other thing too is the attitudes towards infidelity. And despite attitudes towards many kinds of sexual behavior, such as premarital sex and homosexuality, have liberated a lot in the last 30 years, a lot of people still regard extramarital sex with disapproval. And the belief in the importance of sexual fidelity has remained consistent over time. And according to the British Social Attitude Survey, shows the opinion of about extramarital sex has changed little in the past 2 decades, and over 60% of the population see that British extramarital sex is always wrong. And obviously in different cultures, not all cultures place the same thing in monogamy as Western cultures. And of 139 societies throughout the world surveyed in the 1940s, 39% permitted men and women to have affairs with particular kinsfolk, such as the wife's sister or husband's brother during certain festivals or holidays or under circumstances, which makes sense, actually. I know even within my own family history. We were just chatting about that today, just in the fact I'm half Chinese, and with that, we've got sexual history in our family, where my grandfather had a first wife and a concubine before he married my grandmother, and as well as that, also eventually had a Caucasian bride later on. But it was quite interesting, where I remember as a child, I asked my father about it, because I didn't really understand why he had had so many partners, and my father actually quite aptly explained it, which I'm going to explain to my listeners out there tonight, which I thought was rather interesting. My dad said to me, well, in China sometimes, and at that particular point of history, men to have their women together, where in North America we tend to have them in succession. And I thought that was very apt, and it's interesting. And sometimes in present day society, there is where even if you go back into the ancient times, like with the geisha, and present day in Japan with the hostess, where sometimes the men, they have their household, but they go outside for relaxation and entertainment. And again, that does touch in with the class system as well. Other stats that are kind of interesting in terms of permissive sexual attitudes are also linked with extramarital sex. 76% of Americans who believe that it is not at all wrong, quote-unquote, report to have had extramarital sex, compared to only 10% of those who think it's always wrong. And there's obviously a great impact when you have affairs, because there's evidence that men are more upset by the sexual and physical aspect of a partner's infidelity, while women are more upset by the emotional aspect, which I guess makes sense to a degree, because if you think about it, back in the caveman days, where men used to grab us by the hair and club us and throw us over their shoulder and drag us back to their cave, or in the Highland Games time, where men would have to go and fight for the right to say, I'm going to marry you because I deserve to, because I'm the fittest and the most wonderful. So it's quite interesting. My advice to all of you out there who are in a relationship and or starting a relationship is to actually discuss the possibility of infidelity and talking about your relationship, as I was talking about in the first half of the show, what cheating means to you, because I think that's really, really, really important. Figure out what it means to yourself first, then talk about what it means to you as a relationship, as a partnership, as a whole, and how is that going to affect you if that happens, because I think it's very, very important. According to this Relationships Today thing, it's quite interesting. It actually says 3/5 of newlyweds have never discussed the possibility of infidelity with each other. It's one of those reasons why I honestly believe if you are getting married, please go for counseling before you get married, before you tie the knot, before you move in with someone. And I'm not talking prenuptial agreements, even though that stuff can be important depending on your relationship. It is really, really important to talk to somebody, whether you've got a spiritual counselor, whether you go to church, whether or not you're paying somebody who's a relational counselor who can help guide you through the process. So you can discuss things like this, like even basics, like whether you want to have kids, about your money issues, what are your spending habits, all those things are so vital. What is your idea about cheating? All of these things, because at some point they're going to come to play and they might bite you in the ass if you don't take care of it right from the get-go. It's very, very important to take care of that. And in doing so, you're taking care of each other. And I think if you're going to be taking that step in your life, it's really, really important if you're going to commit to another being, to explore all of that before you actually make that commitment. It's really, really, really key, which I think is why there's an engagement process. It's not just to plan a really gorgeous wedding, even though it's really lovely to celebrate that your love for each other and all that, but it's really important to do it in the right way, which is taking the time to actually get to know somebody, taking the time to find out those systems, whether or not you do that with a counselor or some sort of a mediator, how to help guide through, and figuring out what issues are you comfortable in terms of compromising on, because there's some things that are deal breakers and some things that are not, which again, it goes back to your criteria list, which even when you are dating someone, just going through all those things, it's really, really, really key. Other things that are important is just realizing that the impact of infidelity is, or on the shared identity and protected space of emotional, intimate relationship, can leave the betrayed partner feeling really, really violated, which I think is really important to realize, as we're talking about in the first half, which when you're going to come clean to somebody about the fact you've cheated on them, to really give them that opportunity to take their time and heal however they need to. They may need to chat a lot about it. They may need to just go out and figure out what works for them and whether this is, if they want to stay emotionally invested, because it can be a really identity threatening experience for both partners. The transgressor, for his or her violation of the rules of the governing couple's commitment, and the partner abiding by the rules for having been unaware of the deception. So it's a lot, and it's really important to really go through that. And in regards to, I guess there's a big question is, does infidelity eventually, inevitably lead to divorce? And according to this, dissatisfaction with the marital relationship is associated with extramarital sex, and those who engage in adultery are less likely to report happy marriages. Infidelity has also been linked to men's sexual dissatisfaction and to women's perception of inequality in the marriage. And research found that the husbands who report lower ends of marital satisfaction are more than likely to say that they divorce an unfaithful wife, which is interesting. And women are more likely to say if they display are more. Women are more likely to say this if they display high levels of conflict with their partner during interviews, if they are married to emotionally unstable men, or if they rated higher in overall attractiveness as a potential mate than their husbands. That's really interesting. But it's really scary that 24% of all divorces in 2000, adultery constituted the fact, proven it by divorce. And as well as that, It's just interesting. Men are more likely to petition for divorce on the grounds of their wife's adultery than women are on the grounds of their husband's adultery. Men, it's 29%, and women, it's 21%. So it's interesting because women more commonly present unreasonable behavior as the case of marital breakdown, and taken together with the fact that men seem to be unfaithful more often, this evidence suggests that men are less than likely to forgive a woman's affair and therefore see it as the end of their marriage. Which again, going back to the caveman era, where you're getting clubbed on the head and being dragged back to a man's cave, perhaps that holds true because, you know, it's almost like they, even though we are in a modern society where there, you know, we have fought for equality in other areas, there's different types of power for men and women. And it's interesting that it still holds true that men may not be able to forgive as easily. I think in general, when somebody has been cheated on, regardless whether it's a male or female, it is very, very, very challenging. And sometimes it's really hard because it's sometimes you have to ask yourself, is it the ego that's hurting because you didn't think this person would do this for you? Because obviously when you go into a marriage, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but for most people, I believe that when you go into a marriage and you make a commitment, unless you have a polyamorous relationship, you usually focus on monogamy. It's very, very important. And in regards to affairs, there's different pathways for negotiating affairs. And sometimes when you know about an affair, it affects your marriage in complex ways because sometimes all of a sudden everybody feels like they're playing a role. And according to a study of by Harrison and Allen, they found the study of the views of men and women. The majority of participants saw affairs as inappropriate and undesirable, but yet this research identified a number of pathways for negotiating affairs. And one of the number one was the unfaithful spouse left to be with their own, was left to be with their new partner. This was often as experienced as devastating, like if they left to be with their new partner. And this was considered devastating by the spouse that was left to confront the emotional and practical impact of rejection in a highly visible context. In marriage, an individual had insisted that their spouse leave once they became aware of the affair. They felt that the trust once betrayed could never be recaptured. But for the most part, the affair proved to be traumatic and resulted in a need to renegotiate the relationship, and it raised fundamental questions about the relationship and could not easily be forgiven or forgotten. And some couples separated some years after the affair became known, with the participants clearly identifying the affair and the deceit it entailed as the catalyst for the breakdown. And sometimes I think when you're coming clean with an affair, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because as the study mentions, it does raise some really key fundamental questions. And like, why? What's missing? What's going on? What do I need from a relationship, and why am I not getting it here? What's going on in terms of ego? Why are we together? All these questions. And again, having an outside mediator, especially when the emotions are rising high, which a lot of times when somebody's ego is being bruised and their emotions and their trust and all that, just what they knew to be true has been shattered, it can be really, really, really traumatic and problematic and scary. And it was interesting because this study also says that a small number appeared to have accepted their spouse's affair, and some were simply indifferent, where they felt they remained married but felt little or no love for their spouse. And some in an open relationship reported that their partner was free to become involved with others, and usually the affairs in these open relationships were usually managed discreetly and were defined as purely sexual, only affecting the couple's relationship if they became emotionally significant. So there are different types of affairs, which is interesting, because there's a range of behaviors that are considered unfaithful. So again, talking with your partner and figuring out what would constitute as unfaithful. Because obviously, as we're talking about at the beginning of the show, there's things like grand passions where there's powerful and emotional sexual feelings. And there was one study actually of internet infidelity where they found 72% of the users of sexually explicit internet message board had a spouse or a significant other. 72% of those users, which is pretty high. And studies suggest that many of those in a committed relationship are not telling their partner about their internet use. And in one study, only 20% had told their partner what they were doing. And research have found when these activities are kept secret from a partner, problems in the offline committed relationship are likely, as the internet one may be used to avoid confronting issues, which makes sense because sometimes if you're not getting what you want from a relationship, sometimes looking elsewhere for an affair, sometimes it's to solve your ego so you feel good, you feel sexy, you feel beautiful, especially after you've had children. Sometimes your partner may not find, you know, maybe sex is not as much of an issue because, again, people forget to continue dating and focus on their relationship where that's going to be number one. The children come second. And that is very hard to believe, especially when you've got a baby where it takes up so much of your time. But it's really, really, really imperative to make sure you do not forget about your relationship because it is really, 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 really key. Interesting, from this study, 88% of remarried women strongly believed in fidelity. Only 57% of remarried men shared that belief. So it's interesting when you go back to the top of that study, where people, when they're originally married in that first year, 90% of newly married women and over 80% of newly married men intend to remain sexually faithful. And then with second marriages, that's interesting, where only 88% of remarried women, so women, it's not so much of a difference, strongly believe in fidelity, and only 57% of remarried men shared that belief. So that's interesting, just that there's such a difference in terms of that. In regards to why people might have affairs, there is a study by Coleman, suggests three psychological reasons for why people might have affairs. Obviously, number one, a fear of a commitment can make intimate relationships feel like a threat and usually is a result of negative or painful past experiences. As a result, an extramarital affair can act as a distance regulator, ensuring that no one relationship can become too close. In addition, fear of being trapped can come from an unconscious fear of dependency on a relationship. And that makes sense, too. Sometimes when people, even in a rebound relational space, tend to date more than one person so they don't get emotionally involved. And again, going back to the top of the show when we were talking about the research that talked about the other woman, why sometimes they see themselves as happy and good is because it's in relation to self-esteem and incidents that may or may not have happened during their formative years in regards to their relationships with their parents. So in terms of their perception of love and whether they feel they deserve love. And as well, in regards to why do people have affairs, number two, secondly, is what is commented as the excitement of forbidden fruit can mean that illicit relationships seem to offer the greatest rewards. And third, an affair represents what is considered a break for freedom, which is perceived as what sometimes is perceived as a limited and restrictive relationship. In that case, the affair can signal to the spouse a need for change in the marriage or that the marriage is over. And some people do that because they find it's easier just to do it when they've got a reason, when it's somebody else. And in the wake of an affair, a lot of people do seek therapy, thank God. So it's really, 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 really important to just make sure if you are considering having an affair that, again, check why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Because it's not the healthiest thing in the world. At the break, I played All at Once, Whitney Houston's song, where there's those lyrics there, like the smile that used to greet me brightened someone else's day. She took your smile away and left me with just memories all at once. It can be pretty shattering on many levels. And if you've got kids, it can be pretty shattering as well. I know friends, we've had listeners over the years who have said things that, you know, that they wish their parents would get divorced when they knew full well that one of their parents were having an affair growing up. So if you are engaged in polyamory, just being really frank about that, letting your kids know just so they know that it's safe and it is comfortable. All those things, it's in terms of just establishing really solid boundaries. So educating your kids, making sure that if you need to talk to a sex educator about that, Julia Saunders, who used to do Juicebox Radio with me, is a wonderful sex educator that you can always contact her, and you can always email me for her information if you'd like. Anyway, it was really lovely tonight. So your homework until next week is number one, figure out what constitutes cheating for you. Two, what your deal breakers are. Again, revisiting that criteria list that you probably created when you were right at the pickup stage of a relationship, and figure out what works for you. What do you need? What are your deal breakers? Three, seeing in terms of where you are in your relationship, just checking in and try not to take your partner for granted. It's really, really important. Four, making sure if you are in a relationship and you are engaging in a outside relationship and it is not one that your partner knows about, really think about what you're doing and why you're doing it, because in reality you're hurting yourself as well as everyone else, unless you have a polyamorous relationship and you've set the guidelines for that, which is a little bit different. Five, if you are the other woman, really think about what you're getting out of this, and if you might want to read the book, He's Just Not That Into You, because there's some really, really key points in there. Because if he really loves you, and he says he loves you, and it's like, baby, you know, I can't leave the kids right now, they're at this age or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just like, you're worth more than that. And I hope at some point you can find that. So whether or not you need to go for therapy, and I may have some listeners out there who are really angry at me for hearing this, but and each circumstance, yes, is different, but in general, and these are generalizations, in some ways, it's really important. Just really think about what you're doing and what's going on. And there are some situations, of course, that where perhaps you're just, that there is a partner who just will not let go in terms of actually getting a divorce. So there's a lot of different things there. Up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. And he is going to be talking about, well, actually, he's going to be playing some really hot, wonderful music. And I haven't looked yet to check out his shoes, but I know when I do get to check him out, I am going to be very, very seriously happy and start drooling and probably have a shoegasm or so. So I'm very excited about this. So we will be back, or I will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. And if you ever want to listen to the podcast, of course, you can just go to the website, sexyinvancity.com, and you can pull a lot of that off there. So that'd be great. So there's all sorts of wonderful things, everything from how to meet men in the city and all sorts of lovely stuff. And we will be back next week. Thank you so much. Cheers.
It's a problem in my mind. Living a life. Believe in reincarnation because I refuse to come back as a bug or as a rabbit.
You know, you're a real up person.